Well, let us now turn to our scripture reading for this evening. You'll find it in the Gospel according to Mark. Mark chapter 8. We'll begin our reading at verse 27. And we'll read to the end of the chapter. Our focus this evening will be on the questions that are found here in verses 36 and 37. But let us begin our reading at verse 27, Mark chapter 8, verse 27. Let us give our undivided attention to the reading of God's own holy, infallible, inspired, inerrant word. And Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, Whom do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist. But some say Elias, and others one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Peter answereth and saith unto him, Thou art the Christ. And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savourest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Amen. May God bless that reading of His Word. Well, congregation, brothers and sisters, in around 1000 AD, about 180 years after the death of Charlemagne, king of the Franks, the then Emperor Otto, he ordered that his tomb be opened up. And he went inside it to see how they had buried this great and powerful king. And when he did so, he was amazed by what it was that he saw. For in that great tomb, Charlemagne had been buried with all of his earthly treasures, all of his vast riches and possessions. But then he saw the remains of the king himself, the skeletal figure of Charlemagne sitting upright on his great royal throne, with his regal crown still resting upon his brow. But to his astonishment, he discovered that on his lap was a copy of the Gospels, and his bony finger it was resting on the words of Mark chapter 8 and verses 36 and 37, where Jesus said, What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And it would seem then that Charlemagne, though he was a great king and ruler, he realized that in the end, all of his greatness, all of his achievements, and his vast amount of wealth, none of it ultimately really mattered. You see, when it came time for him to die, he had to leave it all behind. All of his fine robes, all of his riches, his titles, his royal standing. He couldn't take any of it with him when he went out into eternity to meet his God. And you see, that is the solemn fact that confronts us here in this passage in Mark chapter 8, which we read earlier, that whenever we do reach the end of life's journey, nothing we have achieved or accumulated in this life, none of it will ultimately truly matter. You see, all that will matter in that moment is our relationship to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so this evening then I want to think about this passage of Scripture, these two great questions that Jesus addresses to every one of us here in Mark chapter 8 and verses 36 and 37. And as we reflect on these questions, I want to consider three things that they press upon our minds. Firstly, they focus our minds on the worth of the soul. Then secondly, they force us to think about the waste of a soul. And then finally, they call upon us to think seriously about the well-being of our own souls. Well, let us begin to think about these two great questions here in Mark chapter 8 then by first focusing our minds on this matter of the worth of the soul. And friends, what is the worth of the soul, of your soul and mine? Well, Jesus infers here in these verses the soul is of infinite worth. It is worth more than this whole wide world and everything it contains. All of the cities and nations and continents of this world, all of its silver and gold, all of the rubies and diamonds and precious stones it contains, all of the stocks and shares, all of the bonds and wealth of this world, all of the vast resources of this world, all of it. Jesus is saying our souls are of more value than all of these things put together. And why is it that Jesus says that here? Well, friends, it's because the Bible teaches that we are a soul. We are an immortal soul. You see, when God created man in his own image and likeness, when he formed him of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, he became a living soul. And you and I then, we are not simply a body. We're not merely the sum of our biological parts. We are each a soul inhabiting a body. That's why Paul speaks about the body in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1 as being our earthly house. Because you see, the body is the place where the soul currently lives. And our present bodies, friends, then they will perish. These same bodies we spend so much time looking after and feeding and clothing and washing and pampering and worrying about. They will one day be laid in a grave when we draw our last breath in this world. But our souls will live on. They will go on existing forever. They will continue to exist even when the sun and the moon and the stars, all of the planets and galaxies, everything else that God has created will have disappeared. Because you see, the soul is that part of us that is made in the image and likeness of God. And it can no more cease to exist then than God himself can cease to exist. And friends, our souls will go on enduring in existence then throughout all eternity, world without end. And they will continue to exist forever, as the Bible teaches, in one of two places, either in heaven or in hell. And you see, that is why Jesus is stressing here then the infinite worth and value of the soul in comparison to all other created things, because he wants us to take to heart just how precious and immeasurably valuable our souls are, to recognize they are the most valuable possession that has or ever will be entrusted to us by God. And you see, that realization, it's meant to put life into a totally different perspective then. You see, unlike the misguided atheist who in his delusional legends that we are simply the byproduct of blind, mindless, purposeless, natural processes. Says that we are nothing more than a physical mass of molecules. That we are simply the accidental product of a combination of chemicals that have highly evolved over time. And so they say that at death we go out of existence. Unlike the misguided atheists who says these things, we are meant to see ourselves as God sees us. We are meant to see ourselves as we truly are. Not as an accidental collocation of atoms and molecules, but as creatures made in the image and likeness of God. And therefore as beings who are intrinsically immortal and eternal by creation. Beings who will never, never, ever cease to exist. And do we see then why this question of the soul's worth, it is of such great consequence? Do we see why it is that Jesus impresses these questions here in our text upon our minds? What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You see, what the Lord Jesus is placing before us here is a pair of scales. And on the one side of the balances, he is placing the world and everything in it. And then on the other side, he is putting one single soul. And he is telling us the value of that one single soul. It outweighs the value of everything else. And friends, we are called by Jesus here then to use our own minds to place our own souls on that same scale, to weigh their worth in the balances in light of eternity, in light of their immortality, in light of the fact they are destined to exist forever, either in heaven or in hell, in conscious bliss or conscious torment. And you see, we are to let the weight of the solemn reality of the impending death of our bodies and the immortality of our souls and our eternal destinies, we are to let it lead us to view life and the world around, so that we would learn not to love the world, nor the things in the world. That we would learn to say to ourselves, to remind ourselves, as we awake each morning, in the language of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, that the time is short, the fashion of this world, it is passing away. And thus it is our wisdom to use this world as not abusing it, by not wasting our souls in the pursuit of this world and in the pursuit of the vanity of those things that the Bible warns us are all destined to perish with the using. And that brings us to consider in the second place then, these questions, they force us to think about the waste of a soul. That it is possible, as Jesus reminds us here, to waste our souls by losing them, by trading or exchanging them for the things of this world. And friends, our souls are in grave danger of being wasted and squandered then according to Jesus. Because you see, we can waste them and lose them by simply wasting our lives. You see, the original Greek word for soul that is used here in our text, it is the word psuche, which also means life. And so whenever the Bible speaks about our soul, it is referring to our life, speaking about our inner life or the life of our souls, the life that is now expressed through our physical bodies. And another way of phrasing what Jesus is asking here then would be, what can you give in exchange for your life? Or even, what can you give in exchange for yourself? You see, our soul is the true essence of our life. As we've been saying, It's the real us, so to speak. It's the dimension of our lives that will transcend the bounds of time and our earthly existence here, and which will never cease to exist. But we need to remember it is also the control center of our being while we are here in time. It's that which animates and directs us in our physical earthly existence. And our souls are our lives then. They can be oriented toward God, or they can be oriented toward physical, material, earthly things. And of course the soul was made to be oriented or directed toward God so that we would live for Him in our physical bodies, that we would make His will and purposes the guiding principle of our lives here on earth. But you see, if that is not how we choose to live, if instead we are turned in on ourselves, we use the capacities and energies of our souls simply to pursue our own ends and goals in life, then we will lose our souls or our lives. Because as Jesus says in verse 35, the person who will save his life, person who chooses to channel the energy and capacities of their soul toward themselves and their own ends and desires, they shall lose their lives. They will never know or experience the true meaning of life, not just in the life to come, but in this life here on earth. Because you see, the true meaning of life is to know the life of God in the soul as we give our souls over to Him to be our His dwelling place. And Jesus is saying the way to lose our souls or our lives then is by living a self-centered life, a life that is turned in on ourselves, that does not have God as its central reference point. And of course, when God is not at the heart and center of our lives, then inevitably we are. And you see, when that is the case, what will be the result? We will live in pursuit not of God, but of everything that this world appears to have to offer us. And thus we will waste our souls, our lives then, by living only for ourselves, for our own priorities, rather than God's priorities. And by giving ourselves then to attaining and holding on to earthly material things, rather than focusing on God and spiritual things. As though Jesus had it wrong when He said elsewhere in Luke chapter 12 and verse 15 that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And friends, how many people today are wasting their lives then? They are forfeiting the well-being of their souls by thinking their lives do consist in the acquisition of things. And so they give themselves over entirely to the pursuit of worldly and material gain and what they can get out of this world, as though these things can and will satisfy the longings and desires of their souls and make them truly happy. And all the while they are keeping God off the throne of their souls and out of their hearts and lives, because they have chosen to save them their lives for themselves and for their own ends. And the tragedy is they don't realize that in doing so they are actually losing their lives. They are destroying their souls. Because you see, our souls were made by God for Himself to live in relationship to Him as their true owner. And no matter how much of this world we might gain then, it can never bring real satisfaction into our lives if we aren't rightly related to God in our souls. Because as we sing in the words of Psalter 203, to live apart from God is death. And a life that is lived in the interests of self and worldly gain then
it is a wasted life, because it's a life that actually separates us from God and from the life of God and from the enjoyment of God. Because you see, a preoccupation with self is the very thing that shuts God out from the soul, keeps him from occupying his rightful place in our hearts and our lives. That's why, as one man has said so well, there is no life so empty as a self-centered life. Why, there is no life so centered as a self-emptied life, a life that is given over to God. And friends, to be truly rich in life then, it's not to be rich in what this world can give us. It is to be rich toward God, to have Him as the eternal portion of our souls. Reminds me of the very wealthy man I read of who owned a tremendous amount of land. He was talking to his Christian neighbor one day. He was bragging to him about what he had and what he owned. And he and his neighbor, they were standing out in the middle of one of his fields. And the man, he said to his neighbor with a great smile on his face, he said, "Look over that way. As far as you can see, everything you can see, I own it." Then he said to him, "Look over in that way. Everything you can see, as far as you can see, I own it." Then he said, "Look in that direction, as far as you can see. Everything you can see, it's all mine. I own it." And then finally he said, "Look in that direction. Everything you can see, it's all mine. I own it." And his Christian neighbor standing beside him, he said to him, "That's wonderful. You own everything in all four directions." He said, "I'm happy for you." But then he said to him, "Let me ask you a question. How much do you own in that direction?" You see, his neighbor bowed his head at that point, because he knew he was not rich toward God. He wasn't right with God in his heart and in his life. And you see how many are just like that man. They are taken up with what they have in this world. And sadly, they judge their success by what they have. And all the while, they forget that true riches, they are not bound up with material possessions and the stuff of this world. Because you see, all of these things, as good as they may be in their proper place, they will all pass away, and we'll have to leave them all behind. And at best then, we can only enjoy them for a few short years. And you see, that's why the Lord Jesus warns us here then against trading our souls for earthly gain. That's why he instructs us in John chapter 6 not to labor and toil for that which perishes, but for that which endures to everlasting life, that which he alone can give us. And friends, let us not be like so many around us then, who, as the prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah chapter 55, are spending their money, their time, their energy, their wages, for that which does not satisfy and cannot satisfy. But rather, let us hearken diligently to God. Let us eat that which is good. Let us delight our souls in true abundance. And let us incline our ears and come unto Him and hear His words of counsel to us, that our souls might live. You see, God doesn't want any one of us to lose our souls, to waste our lives in the pursuit of the world and material things. That's why He sent His own Son into this world, that we might have life in Him, abundant life, real life, spiritual life, everlasting life, and that through Him it might be well with our souls. And that's what I want to move on to consider in the last place then that these questions of the Lord Jesus here, they call upon us all to think seriously about the well-being of our souls. You see, as Jesus makes clear here in verse 35, the way to save or secure the well-being of our immortal souls is by losing them for His sake in the Gospels, by giving them away to Him to whom they belong in the first place, so that He might sit as King upon the throne of our hearts and reign over our lives, to now direct them for His own ends and purposes, and to reveal the life of God to us and within us. You see, we must be prepared to lose our lives in order to gain the life of Christ. We must be emptied of self before we can be filled with Christ and the life of Christ. And when we come to Christ, then, we're not simply embracing the resources that He provides, the gifts that He provides. We are bringing ourselves to Him. We are placing ourselves under His sovereign lordship. And we are saying to Him, "You are now the Lord of my life. You are now in charge of my life. Your will, Your desires, Your plans, Your purposes, that's what I now want for my life." And boys and girls, I'm sure you've all heard someone say before, when they find something that someone has lost, finders, keepers, losers, weepers. And of course they say that to try to cover up the fact that they know the item they've found, it doesn't truly belong to them, to grant themselves the right to keep it. Of course, they may well get away with keeping it. But you see, what Jesus is saying here in a spiritual sense is, it's not the finders who are keepers and the losers who are weepers. Rather, it is the losers who are the keepers. Because those who are prepared to lose their lives by saying to God and Jesus, "I give my life over to You," they are the ones who will actually find their lives and keep them. While those who try to keep their lives by saying to God and Jesus, "Stay out of my life," they are the ones who will lose their lives. You see, whatever they may appear to gain in life by ignoring God, by going their own way in disregard of His will and purposes, it will ultimately be lost to them. And the loss will be utterly devastating for them, because they will discover that they have forfeited their own souls. And God will say to them at the last, on the day of judgment then, they that Jesus speaks about here in verse 38, when He will come again in the glory of His Father with the holy angels to judge the world in righteousness, He will say to them on that day, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels," as Matthew informs us in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41. Because you see, all those who are ashamed of the Lord Jesus, of His words in this life, all those who will not identify with Him and follow Him in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed in the day of judgment, and they will have no lot or portion with Him then, but they will go to a lost eternity in hell. And you see, it makes no difference what a person may have in life then, if they don't know and acknowledge the Lord Jesus as their personal Savior. Then, just like the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10, they will lack the one thing that is truly needful. You see, like him, they will discover in the end that everything without Jesus equals nothing, but nothing with Jesus equals everything. And to be without Jesus then, it will mean the eternal loss of the soul of the person who would not come to him and come after him by denying themselves and taking up their cross and following him. And friend, if you're here, you still haven't come to Jesus that you might have liked. You're still determined to go your own way in life rather than deny yourself and follow him. Then I plead with you this evening, for the sake of your immortal soul, will you not do so today? Will you not join the ranks of those here who have already done so? For my dear friend, what will it profit you if you gain the whole world and yet you lose your own soul? What will you give in exchange for your soul? For friend, what in this life is worth the exchange of your soul for a lost eternity? What will you be able to exchange for it in hell if you do go there at the end? Nothing. Because it will be too late to do anything about your lost condition then. Because the only thing that can save your soul and keep it out of hell and get it into heaven is the perfect righteousness of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But if you will not give your soul to him while it is still the day of salvation to save you, you will not have him to reign over you, then you cannot be saved, and you will never come into possession of his righteousness then. And friend, if that is your lot, you will be without excuse on the day of judgment, if that is your choice. And I realize that some of you may find it hard to hear these things, but I trust you realize I don't say these things to be harsh or unkind. But I say them because I am called as a faithful servant, an ambassador of Jesus Christ, to do so out of love for your soul. Because I don't wish anyone here to go to a lost eternity when Jesus is passing you by in the gospel, when he is calling you to come to him as your Lord and Savior, that you might have life in him, life in all of its glorious fullness and blessedness. And friend, if you are still outside of Christ then, will you not come to him, embrace him as your Lord and Savior this evening, that you might be saved? Will you not trade your love of the world, all of the things that are currently captivating your heart, your soul, will you not trade them in for a permanent relationship with Jesus Christ? My dear friend, I assure you, if you do so, you will never regret it, for you will find him, as I and many others have, to be a faithful and a loving friend, a friend who sticks closer than a brother, a friend who loves at all times. And you will discover he is the best of all possible masters, for his yoke is easy, his burden is light, and he is meek and lowly in heart, having a heart of compassion and love for the very worst of sinners who will but come to him as their Lord and Savior. And come to him today then, come to him without delay. For all those who come to him, he will by no means cast out. For friends, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Amen.
Let us pray. Our gracious God, we thank thee that thou hast revealed these things to us in thy word, and thou hast revealed who we truly are, that we are the work of thy hands, or the one who has given us a being and an existence in this world, Thou hast formed us body and soul, and we pray that we would see then that we are destined to live forever, either in heaven or in hell. And we pray, Lord, that Thou would impress upon us the solemnity of the things that we have been considering, that we would see how truly short time is, and we pray that we would see that there is a heaven to be gained and a hell to be shunned, and we pray then that we would see that one thing in life is truly needful. And we pray that all of us then would not be living for the fleeting and passing things of time and sense, that if it is Thy good pleasure to bless us in life with material prosperity and the good things of this life, that we would thank Thee for these things, but we would ever remember that we are given all of these things. We are expected to be wise stewards of our bodies, of our souls, and of all of the good gifts of life, that we are to use them all for Thy glory, for the good of Thy cause here on earth, that we would seek to lay up treasure for ourselves, not here on earth, where moth and rust will corrupt and thieves may break in and steal, that we would be seeking to invest in the kingdom of heaven while we are in here on earth. We pray, help us, Lord, to live with a loose hand, that we would be happy and willing, that if Thou art pleased to give and take, that we would be able to say with another of old, the Lord gave, the Lord has taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord. Help us then, Lord, to have our priorities right in life, that we would be seeking above all else to know Thee and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent, that we would see that that is life. And we pray then, Lord, deliver us from grieving the Holy Spirit, the only one who can truly reveal that life in us and to us. And we pray then that all of us would know the Holy Spirit, that we would honor Him, that we would allow Him free rein to work in our lives, to do in us, and work in us to will, to do, and according to Thy good pleasure. And we pray then, Lord, that Thou would help us in this week that is opening up before us, to set Thee before us, to be ever mindful of our latter end, to live in time, but with a view to eternity. And we do ask, Lord, then, that Thou would help us to seek first Thy kingdom and Thy righteousness, believing that all other things that are truly necessary for life and for godliness, they will be added to us in Thy way and in Thy time. And so help us, Lord, to be content with the things that we have, remembering that godliness with contentment is true gain. And so, Lord, we pray that we would be a people who know Thee, people who love Thee, who are captivated by Thee and by Thy love, who live day by day and moment by moment to serve Thee and walk with Thee and to do all that we can to bring glory and honor to Thy name. And so, Lord, use each and every one of us as instruments in Thy hand, we pray, for the good of Thy cause and kingdom here on earth. And go before us into this week. Bless Thy word to our hearts, to our minds, and keep us in all of our concerns. May we lay them out before Thee. May we learn to entrust them into Thy hands and to look to Thee, trust in Thee at all times, and to wait upon Thee for all that we need. And be our God and guide in life, then, we pray. Lead all of us in the way everlasting. We ask it all in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.